So what happens when you have a first responder in the building? Alarms and sirens go off all the time. Thank God for first responders, and Lord protect them. Amen. Got a question for you this morning. Why are you here? Why are you in this place this morning? There's one honest answer. Somebody just pointed at her mama. Yeah, we talked about that earlier, didn't we? Compel them to come in, right? Your kids, compel them to come in. Get a hold of one ear and head out. No, seriously, though, why are you here? Are you here because of tradition? Are you here because it's the right thing to do? Are you here because of someone else's expectations? Why are you in church? How many have read my posts this week? I see about half probably. There was a series that I hadn't intended, but that just sort of flowed out, and it turned into, why do we come to church? You know, one of the posts talked about there is no such thing as a passionless Christianity. You know, what is passion? Passion is a fervor. It's a deep desire. Passion is something that you're willing to invest your all in. And Christianity, without a passion for Jesus, is some kind of a dead ritual. It's Sunday, guess I'll go to church. People expect me to be there. Wife will get mad if I don't go. In fact, I have to go. I'm the pastor. You think I don't have those days? Everybody does. Everybody has those days when, you know what, my commitment compels me to go. But you see, that's not the first best destiny. That's not the first thing. The first thing is to be excited about Jesus. It's to be in love with Jesus. It's not about what he can do for you. It's just an opportunity to be in his presence. And not only in his presence, but in the presence of other people who feel about him the way that you do. That is why we ought to come and assemble together. There are a whole lot of other benefits to assembling together, but the initial question of why are you here has got to be answered from the deepest depths of your heart. Why do I want to be here? And it should be because the Son of the living God touched me and dwells inside me, and I just can't wait to be where he is and where other people who feel the same way about him are. You see, we all fall into habits. We all fall into drudgery. But at the end of the day, we will do what we make time to do. Some people love to fish, and they will do a double backflip to get to the lake. Some people love to go to a ball game or to a car race or to be with friends or to go to the golf course or whatever it may be, and they will arrange their schedules to do that. Some people have a favorite restaurant they want to go to, and they will juggle the world to get an opportunity to go there. Heard the trip coming up. Mandy wants to sit on that bench down in Savannah where Forrest Gump was filmed. You know? Hey, look, going by, let's stop there and do it, right? I used to work with a guy that would plan his trips based on what time it would be lunchtime and whether he could stop at a certain restaurant. My point's this. We will do what we want to do, and then we'll think about what we want to do. It'll be on the forefront of our mind. We'll be anticipating what happens when we get to that destination. We'll be anticipating what happens when we get to that event. And all of our thoughts will be wrapped up in what's going to happen. Now the hard question. Did you do that this morning before you came into this house? Were you anticipating? Was there fire in your belly about, hey, I get to go to God's house to praise Him and to be in the presence of His people. If there wasn't that fire, it's time for a checkup. It's time to change our priorities a little bit. Because the bottom line is, you know, well, Solomon said it in Proverbs. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you think about? Do you watch CNN or Fox News all the time and think about all the garbage that's going on in the world? I'll tell you, I spent, you know, many years I worked at a construction company. And when I was vice president sales and marketing, I had the benefit of having cable television in my office. And when I moved into that office, I had moved out of another interior office where there wasn't TV, but where I strung a wire up to listen to WJMD. And when I listened to that Christian music all day long, I had one frame of mind, and that frame of mind was pretty positive. So I move into this big office with television, and I've got CNN on all the time. Guess what happened to my attitude? And one of the things I saw on that television was airplanes flying into buildings about 20 years ago. You know? But it changed my whole state of mind because I was hearing, what was I hearing all day? I wasn't hearing the good news. I wasn't hearing good, solid preaching and teaching. I wasn't hearing Christian music. I was hearing newsreaders spout doom and gloom. I defy you to get on those big network news stories and find anything positive, with the possible exception of Nora O'Donnell having one good human interest story at the end of the broadcast. So we think about those. Now, Paul wrote to the Philippians in 4:8. He said this: finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. King James translates that as think on these things. The New King James says meditate, which is a better translation. What does meditate mean? Anybody ever watched a cow chew cud? It eats something and swallows it, and then brings it back and chews on it some more and swallows it, and brings it back and chews on it some more and swallows it. The whole idea is God designed that cow to get the most nutrition possible out of a poor food source. That's the way we're supposed to deal with the Word of God. And with, as Paul said, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and good report and virtue or praiseworthy, we're supposed to meditate on those. That doesn't just mean read it once. That means pull it back up and look at it again. Chew it until you got all the good out of it. Right? Then you go get another bite and chew it till you got all the good out of it. You see, the old adage that you are what you eat is spiritually true. If we feed ourselves on the things of God as opposed to the things of the world, our attitude's going to be better. And one of the best places to get an opportunity to chew on the things of God is in God's house and in the presence of God's people. When we get here, we can build each other up. I am so glad that this pandemic rubbish is almost behind us, and we can touch each other again. We can hug. We can pat somebody on the back. If somebody's crying, you can give them your shoulder to cry on. We can quit this foolishness of not being able to touch each other. Because there were some young children in the room a few minutes ago. And I was thinking about that little two-year-old, which made me think about my almost soon-to-be three-year-old granddaughter. But here's the thing. Those young children need to be touched. They need to be held. They need mama to hold them. Physical contact and bonding is an important part of determining who they are. And physical and spiritual contact among the saints is just as important. I need you to encourage me to be who I am called to be. You need each other to encourage each other about being who we're called to be. Sometimes we need a hug. Sometimes we need a pat on the back. Sometimes we need a kick in the back pocket. But God's people need to do that for each other. It's the way it works in your family. And if we're God's family, then it needs to work that same way with us too. We need to encourage each other. You know, the old Army slogan of be all you can be, that works for the church too. We need to help each other be all we can be. And our potential in Jesus is unlimited. Well, I don't have the education, I don't have the training, I don't have the time. Guess who holds all that in His hands? The one who lives in you holds that in His hands. And His power is most often shown when our strength ends. It's not that He enables us to do things just for the sake of doing them, but it's He has a purpose and He has a vision, and whatever tool you need, He will provide it for you. But very often, we have to take the first step and say, Lord, I'm willing. The prophet, as in Isaiah, I believe, chapter 6, Isaiah had a vision of the throne of God and Him high and lifted up, and he saw God's holiness, and he saw His hellishness as a man and the hellishness of the people around him, and he hears a voice from the throne saying, who can I send? And the prophet says, Hineni, here am I, send me. Look around you, and you can see the same thing Isaiah saw. You can see your own unworthiness, but you can see the need around you, and you can hear the call of God saying, these people need to be touched, and we need to respond, Hineni, here am I, send me. God, I don't have much to give, but if you'll help me, I'll go. You see, the church isn't the church inside these walls. This is an assembly point to get a mission briefing and to get encouragement and to build each other up and to try and test each other so that we can then go out. The mission's out there. The mission's not in here. You're here to be equipped for the going. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you in this room know someone who formerly sat in this room on Sunday mornings but isn't going to church anywhere right now? How many? Have you asked them to come back? Well, keep asking until they come. And if you have to, grab them by their earlobe and drag them. How many of you in this room know someone who's a friend or a neighbor or a coworker who is not churched at all? Have you asked them? Have you wore them out like that widow that went and knocked on the guy's door until he finally opened it and said, whatever you want, I'll give you as long as you go away and hush? You know, that might not be the best reason for somebody to come to church, but once they get here, just maybe the Holy Spirit can get a hold of them. We've got a mission in this town. We've got a mission to be a lighthouse for Jesus. We've got a mission to show people His love. We've got a mission in these last days to show them an opportunity to get out of the bondage that they're in. But it doesn't matter how ready the field is to harvest if the workers aren't there. And I look around this room, and I see a large part of the crowd has got a few miles on them. We need some young blood that we can nurture and bring in and help them to be all they can be so that they can labor in the field too, so that we don't have to do it all. I'm not there very often, but if you go over to the well on Tuesday afternoons, there's a whole lot of gray hair over there fetching and toting and sorting and doing all the things that need to be done. Boy, it'd be nice to have some young bucks over there to carry some boxes. You don't have gray hair, Ray. You have no hair. You see the point, though? You know, if I think we can certainly say we can look around, and if we're not in the last days, I can guarantee you this, we're closer than we've ever been. How long is the window of opportunity? How many people are going to go the broad way to hell as opposed to going the narrow way to heaven because we haven't said anything, because we haven't reached out, because we haven't given them an opportunity to know Jesus? You know, and I think at some point we're going to have to answer for that. Yeah, I know there's been a pandemic. I know it's been 15 months since the world fell apart around us. And I know a lot of people have developed new habits. And we've got some people that have landed in other houses of worship, and more power to them for that. But those who were ours, who have stayed at home, who aren't plugged in, who are trying to worship on television, which is a substitute but a poor one for being in the presence of God's people, we need to reel those folks back in. And dear God, those people who don't know Jesus at all, man, we got to do something. We got to reach out. Writer Hebrews says in chapter 10 this. I'm going to start at verse 22. Let us draw near. Draw near who? Draw near God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Sprinkled with what? Come on, church. The blood of Jesus. It's the blood that does away with sin. We're having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Christ and our bodies washed with pure water, which is the Word. The blood and the Word. Two things, by the way, that the world around us is rejecting completely out of hand. You know, the we don't want anything to do with that old bloody religion. We don't want to talk about the blood. Even churches these days don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus. But I tell you this, if it hadn't poured out of His body on Calvary, we're all hellbound. And there's no way around it. That blood is what saved us. That blood is what paid a price that we couldn't pay. And without it, we are doomed. So I don't care if people think it's disgusting. I don't care if people think it's passé and old-fashioned. Give me the blood of Jesus. And the Word. The world around us is trying to rip chunks out of it and throw it in the incinerator. It's out of date. It's passé. It doesn't fit with modern morality. Y'all are a bunch of Neanderthals to believe what that book says. It's the Word of God. The one who spoke this world into being spoke those words. They're the only sure guide we've got. Because I tell you, morality changes and fashion changes and what's considered to be good by society changes. Most of us, when we were children, we never would have believed what goes as normal today. In America. in the bastion of Christianity, even in Hazard, Kentucky, in the middle of the Bible Belt in Appalachia. Stuff that we wouldn't even talk about 50 years ago is considered to be normal today. You tell me it ain't sliding. You tell me we're not throwing the Word of God away. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I'm supposed to think about you. You're supposed to think about me. Y'all are supposed to think about each other. Why? To stir up love and good works. If you've got a pot of soup, got some leftovers, and you put a lid on it, stick it in the refrigerator, when you pull it out, what has happened to it? All the goody has settled down to the bottom. And if you take, you heat it up and you take a dipper out of the top, all you're going to get is juice. If you want some carrots and potatoes and what have you, and chicken in your bowl, you got to stir up the pot. Well, if we don't exercise what God has put into us, it settles to the bottom of the pot. And in order to get the mix right, you got to stir it up. And one of the best places to stir up whatever is in you is in this house, in the presence of these people. We're supposed to make each other better. We're supposed to challenge each other. We're supposed to support each other. We're supposed to reach back and lead somebody, and some people you need to get behind them and push them. Sometimes it's you that needs to be pushed. Sometimes it's you that needs to be dragged up out of your chair. Sometimes it's me. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. That's what we're doing this morning, isn't it? We assembling ourselves together. Some people have forsaken that. We need to help them unforsake it. But exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day? That is the end. And I said earlier, we're definitely closer to it than we were. And if we can't look around and see the world going to hell in a handbasket around us and realize that the time is short and the task is urgent, we must be blind if we can't see that. So it's time. It's time to quit dragging our feet. It's time to quit being comfortable. And I do want to draw your attention to this, what the writer of Hebrews said here. In verse 22, let us. Verse 23, let us. Verse 24, let us. It implies a choice. We have a choice. We get to choose whether we do something. But it's more than a choice. The way it's phrased, it is both a choice and a command. It says, April, choose to go do. Let you go do. That'll play. Let you go do. Okay. You see, that's why we come together. We come together to encourage each other. We come together to get recharged. We come together to get refilled. We come together in order to encourage us to do the work of the church because, you know, I can't do it without you. Scripture tells us the fivefold ministry is set in place so that we can equip the saints to do the work of the kingdom. We're all laborers in the field. Ain't no free rides on this bus. We need to work. We need to get it together. We need to reach out to people. You all know people that I don't know. You all are close to people that I'm not close to. Spread the word. Share the love. Offer Jesus to people. Don't offer New Hope Church to people. You know, we don't need to raise another generation of New Hopians. We need to raise a generation of Christians. People don't need to look like New Hope. People need to look like Jesus. People don't need to think like New Hope. People need to think like Jesus. People don't need to talk like New Hope. People need to talk like Jesus. It's all about Him. And if we want to be a part of building that kingdom, we got to get up out of our seat and open our mouth and use our feet and reach people. This is the quietest I've heard this house in a long time. There are days when it's time to shout and laugh. There are days when it's time to fall on your face and cry. And there are days when it's time to get a steely determination and set your forehead like flint to do what is necessary to be done. I think we're in those days. We need to touch people. We need to reach people. Somebody needs to go door to door and say, "Do you know Jesus?" Somebody needs to talk to their coworkers or their neighbors and say, "You know, I don't. You know, do you go to church anywhere? We sure would like to have you, because I'd like to introduce you to Jesus." There's somebody out there that needs you, that you can reach and nobody else can. Anybody? Don't show your hands, but I'm gonna throw you a question. Anybody invite anybody to church this week? If not, why not? And I'm going to leave that right there. Stand with me. You know, I said stand with me and I didn't stand. I guess I better stand. We do what we want to do. And my question to you today is, do you want to build the kingdom of God? Do you want to be the hands and feet and lips of Jesus? Do you want to be part of the building of the kingdom, or do you just want a free ride? A true follower of Jesus wants to be part of the solution and not just a tag along. So I'm going to tell you this morning that the altars are open. If you need to, first of all, if you haven't taken Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then it starts with that, and you need to come see me. If you've fallen short and you want to step forward with a new heart and a new resolution to do what God is calling you to do, the altars are open. And if you have a special need, you can come and see me. But as Shane begins to do some music here, do whatever you need to do. Make it today. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. I want to close with another word of Scripture here. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 11. If you're keeping up with your readings, it's today's. Starting at verse 18. "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children might be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above earth." We are what we eat. We do what we think about. Keep this word in front of you. Amen. Be blessed. See you next time.